forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Welcome back, America. This is the American Awakening with Michael Herzog, who is not here. This is Tim Wingate sitting in for Michael, who's traveling. Michael will be back next Monday, and I understand he's going to be broadcasting from Phoenix, if I remember correctly, from what he told me. I know it's out west, southwest there somewhere, and we're looking forward to that tomorrow. We're going to have Alan Watt back with us. You may realize that we had him on Monday, and that was partially because we got knocked off the air with a thunderstorm last Friday. And so we scheduled Alan to come in and deal with issues on Monday, and we hope to have him back tomorrow as well. I'm looking forward to that. A little bit of information, since we were talking with Edwin Vieira and friend Rick was here. Rick, by the way, is quite a pro se pro per litigant here in the Chicago area. I've learned quite a bit from him, and he's the one who pretty much turned me on to Edwin as far as the book and some of the writings. And I encountered Edwin through the writings on News with Views, but Rick started to sing me his praises, so to speak, and I started to pay more attention. Little thing here for today, June 21st, I already mentioned it was the summer solstice, and everybody enjoy and go out the longest day of the year. You have a religious affiliation that celebrates it, be blessed. Have a good time. It's something to have fun with. Another little interesting thing, and since we've been talking about the Browns in New Hampshire and the responsibilities of the highest law enforcement official in that state, and that's state New Hampshire Governor John Lynch, is that this year, or this day, in 1788, New Hampshire became a state and ratified the Constitution, making it operative in that state. And Congress declared it to be in effect on July 2nd, 1788. So this is a day dealing with New Hampshire. I think it's rather interesting. So, Edwin, you still with us?
Sure, right here.
Great. We'll be going to a break here, I believe, in just a couple minutes. Do you want to finish up anything with the Browns in New Hampshire?
No, except to say that I doubt that the governor is going to take those steps. He ought to. If I were the governor, I would. If I had the governor on the phone, I'd be urging him to do it. But I imagine he's just going to sit in the background and watch what happens.
Well, you and I... Go ahead, Rick, please.
Well, perhaps a few phone calls from the 280 million people in the country and some letters, some emails might help him along.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's exactly what happens.
Well, that in mind, folks... The state governor, John Lynch's number is area code 603-271-2121. Once again, Governor John Lynch, 603-271-2121. Remind him of his responsibility to protect Ed and Elaine Brown. We'll be back after the break.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, America. Tim Wingate on the Republic Broadcasting Network, sitting in for the traveling Michael Herzog on the American Awakening. We have our guests with us, Edwin Vieira Jr. and Rick Waz. And we're going to be talking this hour about Edwin's new book, Constitutional Homeland Security, a plan to take back our streets, to take back our country peacefully, to try and reestablish a constitutional republic. One of the things I came across, as I've mentioned before, with News and Views website that publishes a lot of different articles and Ed's material as well, is a couple of years ago I had written an article on the five truths, why we celebrate July 4th. And that was in preparation for making a little flyer to hand out on a parade route with one of the local libertarian clubs that had managed to get afloat into the parade. And we walked along and handed these things out. And it dealt with that in the Declaration of Independence, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And that begs the question, what truths are these? Edwin, in his article, one of his articles, he had listed these five truths, and these seem to be the basis for the book as well. Now, I'll just read them to you, and we'll go from there. Number one, that the positive laws of any government are always subject and subordinate to the natural law, the laws of nature and of nature's God. Number two, that all men are equally entitled to certain unalienable rights whether or not that is convenient to public officials or special interest groups, domestic or foreign. 3, that governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and therefore can never claim any unjust powers whatsoever or impose any powers from the top down. 4, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter and abolish it and to institute new government. The people being always morally, politically, and legally superior to any form of government. And, 5, that when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, shows a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security, for the fulfillment of which right and duty the people must be organized, armed, and disciplined in the, quote, well-regulated militia, unquote, the Second Amendment declares to be necessary to the security of a free state. Boy, Ed, them's almost fighting words in some quarters.
Well, they were originally. But I think when you hear them now and you compare those principles to what's been going on in this country, developing in this country, certainly during my lifetime since, say, the 1950s, you see that there's a very wide split between the principles on which this country was founded and the principles upon which many of our public officials seem to determine to operate.
I would agree.
And our problem is that all of those principles that you read ultimately depend upon the people themselves enforcing them. All right? It's the people's responsibility to make sure that these principles are put into operation, completely implemented, and that all public officials are following them. Because you can be sure, as the Founding Fathers understood, that if you leave public officials to their own druthers, so to speak, they will move further and further away from these principles to the extent that people let them do it, simply because it's most convenient for them to operate that way.
Yeah, and this is what we're seeing happen. Rick, I want to give you a chance to get on the floor here and add your 2 cents worth in and anything else you want to discuss and bring up with Edwin.
Well, I'd like to start out by explaining this book is I concur after 10 years of beating my head against the wall in the court system. Of course, as a pro se, you truly are beating your head against the wall. That one thing that's consistent in all the states and federal courts and administrative courts and everything is that there's no law being followed. I see, at least not for a pro se, I see this book and the militia, the forming of it, the Constitutional Homeland Security Associations, as, yes, the last chance, the last hope we have. I started out with a highlighter thinking I might highlight a few things. I went through about 3 highlighters. I now have a yellow book. Every page in this book, and the book is called Constitutional Homeland Security, every page in this book has information that is absolutely extraordinary. It's the thoughts that every patriot, every true American had in his mind that he's talked about in the donut shop that he couldn't completely articulate. Edwin has put it together wonderfully, and all the argument you need to win over a communist or a collectivist thinking is in this book. You have to get the book. I already have 4 of them.
Well, I appreciate the thought. I might suggest one thing, though. Tim, you said earlier in the show that the book was something of a compilation of what's on News with Views. No, actually, what is on News with Views are what I would call popularizations of some of the ideas that are in the book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know the book is more extensive.
I said, let me get some of these thoughts out, as it were, you know, you're fly fishing. I want to throw out a little bit of bait, and here's a little bit of this kind of bait, and here's a little bit of this kind of bait, to try and entice people to think about this idea so that when the book finally came out, and I hope this is going to be the first of a series of 3 or 4 books,
right, I noticed
even more detail on the subject.
Yeah, I noticed it's volume 1. Well, yeah. I can tell you, Rick and I are hooked.
we took the bait. We're more than hooked. We're locking and loading.
Well, you know what's interesting about this whole subject, though, is before I wrote any of these articles for News with Views or, of course, the book, I had never written anything on the Second Amendment. I've written a lot about constitutional issues, First Amendment, due process, equal protection, that type of thing, kind of big picture constitutional issues you see in many, many cases. But I had never written anything about the Second Amendment. The main reason was that I looked around and I saw that there were already some large and fairly well-funded and articulate groups out there defending the Second Amendment according to their own lights. And they had a stable of writers who were doing a reasonably good job. And I said, well, I don't have to add to that, right? I would just be another one of, you know, 100 of these people. They're doing fine. Let them continue. Well, now comes 9/11. And the crisis of emergency powers and the whole Homeland Security drumbeat that came out of the District of Columbia immediately. And I said to myself at that point, well, now I'm going to see something, because all these Second Amendment people are going to use this situation to move in the direction of the thing that the Second Amendment tells us is necessary to the security of a free state, the only place in the Constitution where the word security appears, right? And what is that? Well, it's a well-regulated militia. I sat back waiting for this, and the silence was deafening. I never heard anything. So I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to do something. And that's what kicked me off, you know, ground zero.
And I think you picked a wonderful opportunity, because before 9/11, had you brought this up, you'd have just been another militia nut. But the way you put it in perspective is the militia is not forming to overthrow the government. What would we be overthrowing the government for? Our government and our laws and our Constitution is fine. The militia has many, many functions, and it's our duty, and one, a big one, is securing the safety of a free state, as you point out. And I think it's you wonderfully done without being too radical in the book.
Well, I try not to be radical, because obviously as soon as one starts using the militia word, immediately
right.
from all directions come accusations of...
Southern Poverty Law Center, for one,
you
in particular.
You name the groups. We don't even have to name them. We all know who they are, right?
Yeah.
Immediately that comes out. And, of course, that's because there have been some disreputable people out there from time to time who have claimed that they are militia leaders or whatever, and probably some of those, and many of those, were probably agents provocateur of one kind or another, working for some disreputable rogue agency or private organization. But the word has received this muddying over the years. So as soon as you mention that word, people look askance at you and expect to see some crazy guy with an AK-47 and wearing, you know, combat fatigues.
Right.
The point
right.
I always make is I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people forming private groups that call themselves militia, go out in the woods and practice a small unit tactics. I'm talking about the structure that the founding fathers left us with. If you look in the Constitution, you will see that there are very few entities in the Constitution that it recognizes as being permanent. The Army and Navy are not among them. We don't need to have an Army and Navy. They are not constitutionally required establishments. The states are constitutionally required establishments. Congress, the President, the Supreme Court are constitutionally required establishments. And what is the only other one? The militia of the several states. Why? Because the Founding Fathers, as the Second Amendment finally made clear, because it isn't specified in the body of the Constitution, a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. These people were setting up, they hoped, a mechanism for maintaining a free state, and in the context of their own lives, they had been involved in and therefore realized the use of this structure, the militia, to that purpose, or for that purpose. What was the militia at that time? Well, you can go back, and actually, the book I'm working on now will go into this in much more detail. I have gone through, and we'll get back to this after the break. I can hear the
music. Right, we got the music coming up.
Right. Yeah,
folks, this fascinating discussion here on Republic Broadcasting Network with Edwin Vieira. We'll be back after the break.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
All right. Welcome back, America. Public Broadcasting Network. This is the American Awakening with Michael Herzog, who's traveling. This is Tim Wingate sitting in and substituting for Michael. Make sure you stay tuned after the after this program for the Michael. I'm sorry. Actually, for the National Intel Report with John Stettmiller. We've been talking with Edwin Vieira, and Edwin, you just got into a little bit about the muddying of the term militia, and you've in the book you talked about an organization or something called the Citizens Homeland Security Associations.
Well, let me go back one step historically here.
Okay,
understand what the Constitution means by militia. It was the organizations that had been in existence in the colonies and in the independent states from the beginning of each one of them. If you go back and read all of that legal history, which I have done, from the time of the first colonial charters through the first assemblies all the way up to the War of Independence, you will find dozens and dozens and really hundreds of examples of the same structure. Every able-bodied man in every colony was required to perform certain functions within the militia, and among them was to be armed and to be trained and go down a list of them. You can read the statutes for yourself. They're all available if you want to do the digging. Everyone was required because it was understood that everyone had, as the Declaration of Independence points out, not only a right, but a duty to maintain good government and to protect what the Second Amendment calls a free state. Now, we have come a little ways constitutionally from the colonial period, because in the colonial period, of course, women were not emancipated. They were legally subject either to their husbands or their fathers, unless they might have been widows. I mean, there were some who were outside of that control element. And, of course, you had a slave system, at least in the South, and slavery for a very long time was certainly allowed, even in the northern colonies. So we have now come beyond that. So every member of society today would be subject to this basic militia duty.
Yeah, let me clarify that by reading a quote on page 37 of your book. You quote Justice Joseph Story, who wrote commentaries on the Constitution,
right.
And he says, "The militia is the natural defense of a free country against sudden foreign invasions, domestic insurrections, and domestic usurpation of power by rulers."
That's a precise summary of what the Founding Fathers understood and had been, in fact, the practice of the militias from the very beginning. Now, today, we look at the situation in every state in the Union. Of course, I'm most familiar with where I am in Virginia. Is such a structure available? No. In fact, quite the opposite. In every state where I've looked, and certainly at the congressional level, most people have been consigned by statute to a body called the unorganized militia, which means exactly that, nothing. You don't do anything, you have no responsibilities, you have no duties, you have no nothing. Now, of course, that's constitutionally impossible. The whole concept of the militia was the organization of society to perform these functions. And, of course, the functions would go beyond within what Story listed, because I can think of situations, natural disaster type situations, a Hurricane Katrina catastrophe. When those people were looking around for help, and it was coming from these incompetents in FEMA. Right?
And then they brought in the National Guard to confiscate the weapons from people who had organized themselves into a neighborhood protection group.
That's right. If they had had, and I love to tell people this, if they had had a structure in Louisiana that was 10% as well organized in terms of numbers of people and training as the colonial militia were, number one, they wouldn't have had the flooding of New Orleans, because one of the things the militia would have done as a, quote, homeland security, unquote, duty would have been to take a look at those levees and be sure that they were repaired to the level necessary. But number two, they certainly wouldn't have had to call in or to be subject to having called in FEMA and the National Guard, because local people would have been already organized and trained to deal with the problem. So here we have this empty space, as it were, in our constitutional landscape, one large segment of the structure that the Constitution recognizes as being permanent and even says is necessary to our security, the only structure of that. It doesn't even say, the Constitution doesn't even say that Congress is necessary to our security.
That's right.
All right, or the president or the courts. The only thing it says is necessary is the well-regulated militia. We don't have that. Or how do we go about doing it? Well, what I've tried to say in this book is, obviously, we can't look to Congress. Congress is a swamp. We can forget those people. They're paying attention to what they're paying attention to and not to the real needs of this country. Besides, as the Constitution points out, the militia are not an organization controlled directly by the federal government.
The How about
term
state government?
The Constitution uses is the militia of the several states.
Okay.
The only time that the militia ever find themselves subject to governance by Congress is if they are called forth to deal with the three authorities that they have: execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, repel invasions. Only under those circumstances. Otherwise, and even then too, they are state institutions, because all of their officers are appointed by the states. The only officer in the whole militia structure that is appointed directly is by the Constitution is the President of the United States.
Interesting.
So these are state institutions.
All right. Excellent. We will continue this, folks, after the break here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Tim Wingate sitting in for Michael Herzog.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Back, America. This is Tim Wingate on Michael Herzog's American Awakening on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have with me my special two guests, Edwin Vieira Jr. and Rick Waz, talking about, as it's been called, the militia of the several states, and it's based on Edwin's book, Constitutional Homeland Security, Volume 1, we hope, and more volumes to come, The Nation in Arms. And we were talking about how that the term militia has been kind of muddied, and the reality of the militia was being that every able-bodied man at the time, and now as we've come forward, as we have emancipation for all peoples here in our country, that certain people, able-bodied people of a certain age, should be required to be in the militia. I know some states, Ed, have the actual requirement. And Rick, you probably know this better than I do here about Illinois. What is the unorganized or organized militia consist of in Illinois?
Well, as the book points out, each person should dive into the statutes in their state. I have not done that for Illinois, so I don't know if they touch on how they act with the militia or how they refer to it. I do know that I can almost guarantee you it'll consider the National Guard the militia, which Edwin points out in the book is very erroneous. But I'd like Edwin now to the portion of the book where he wants us to form these Citizens Homeland Security Associations as a stepping stone to the militia, kind of almost sugarcoating it for the people so that they don't get too shocked at the terrible word militia.
Well, I agree. I'd like to do that because it seems to me that it deals with personal responsibility.
Well, that's right. That's right. You have to take personal responsibility in order to be a self-governing, a member of a self-governing society. Otherwise, you're not self-governing. Somebody else is going to govern you. I call these organizations Citizens Homeland Security Associations because they are not militias. A militia under the Constitution has to be the product of some kind of state statutory structure. People cannot set up militias on a private basis. So the Citizens Homeland Security Association's purpose is first to bring some people together who are like-minded, who have at least seen the necessity for moving in this direction. Get them educated, self-education, organization. Begin to think about what a militia structure, modern militia structure, should look like in their own states and localities. And I emphasize the word localities because in the colonial period and thereafter, all the militia units were local units. They were formed on a town basis or a county basis if you were in a really rural area. If you were in a city, they might be formed in terms of neighborhoods or streets because they had about 50 or 60 people per militia company. Obviously, their homeland security questions were somewhat less complex than ours, so we need to do some rethinking about the details of what this militia structure should look like. These people in the Citizens Homeland Security Associations, that's their primary task. Their secondary task, as the book points out, is to go out to the rest of the community, to those people in society who haven't thought about this and say, listen, we have these problems. Here's the way to deal with it. We all have to take mutual responsibility for this. And the third step, of course, is to have someone come in, someone such as myself probably here in Virginia or some other place, and draft a model statute based upon what the Citizens Homeland Security Associations have come up with in terms of the proper militia structure, modernized militia structure. Take that to the state legislature through some friendly legislators whom one would hope have been members or participated in one of these Homeland Security Associations. And then the Homeland Security Associations, of course, will put the fire to the feet of their own local legislators in order to have a statute of this kind passed. Now, the real icing on the cake here is that I would hope, and I advocate in the book, that the members of the Homeland Security Associations be the initial people who will volunteer to serve in the revitalized militia when the statute is passed. Because as I see this happening, the first step would be to set up a statute that essentially asks only for volunteers. We have so many people that we'd only need 4 or 5% of the population to perform these functions initially, and I think we can get that from volunteers. And so if a legislator is handed one of these statutes and he has several thousand people calling the legislature demanding the passage of the statute, and then of those thousands, 4 or 5,000 tell the legislators, oh yes, when you pass it, we will volunteer so that this thing will be implemented. It isn't a pie-in-the-sky idea. It isn't theory. We've worked on it. We know this can work. It's been tested, at least in terms of the planning and looking at it from a theoretical point of view. We've given you the statute. Pass this, and we'll give you the bodies in the field who will do what is necessary. And I believe that that's the only way to do two things. First, to take control of the Homeland Security situation so that we don't end up with something that looks like an East European police state directed out of Washington from the top down to every local community. And secondly, to engage in self-government. I mean, the Constitution makes it very clear that one element of self-government is participation in the militia. It's not simply going to vote. It's not simply supporting particular legislation. It's actually getting, as it were, on the shop floor yourself and performing these homeland security functions. They will be beyond homeland security function because I can't believe, for instance, that once people are organized and operating in a structured militia environment, then they're not going to be thinking about a lot of the other political problems we have in this country. And I give one as an example. I'd love to make this connection. Most people don't think of our monetary and banking system yet as a homeland security problem. If it starts to come down in a hyperinflationary event or a depression-type phenomenon, such as occurred in the early 1930s, they will be looking at it as a homeland security problem, which means that if one had properly organized militia structures now in place, we would be thinking about how to reform this system to prevent a collapse.
That's very interesting.
You can think of a lot of other permutations and combinations of political issues that we have in this country that have a homeland security aspect to them that would be discussed in regular militia meetings, and then those people who are engaged in those discussions are not simply going to sit on their hands. They're going to go out into the political world and demand reforms. So it becomes a forum for all of the self-governmental activity that we really don't see going on here today to any great degree, you know, outside of the election seasons.
Yeah, sounds
good. Because
we don't have it.
Although the founding fathers recognized that we needed it, necessary to the security of a free state, we don't have it, and as a result, I would call it the poverty of our political system is now showing up, where it's a small group of people, political activists in the parties, in the media, what have you, who are setting the agenda, determining what the issues are, determining what the answers are, and then telling us how they're going to impose it on us.
Yeah, you're right. Rick, did you have a question?
Well, no, I was just going to make a comment on I learned the phrase from reading Edwin Stuff. I don't know if it's particularly in his book or from articles, what is called the power of the sword. And, mm-hmm. of course, that's what the Second Amendment goes to, what this whole book is about, and why we're in such chaos today is that people have lost the power of the sword. So, obviously, as you point out, this small group of people that determine everything because the large masses lost the power of the sword. Mainly, we're disarmed, we're afraid of everything. So I like some of his suggestions as, like, you go within your town, doesn't matter if your town is 500 people or 50,000 people, and you include the government, the local town government, and tell them this is what you're doing. Tell them what you're organizing. Tell them you want them involved. Now, if they poo-poo the idea, you know, that you guys are nuts, we got it under control, well, great. Now we can use that as political pressure against them to maybe send out letters to everybody saying, hey, guess what? We went to the city and told them these problems and that we need this citizen's homeland security for. And they said no. They prefer that we don't have self-government, self-reliance, and plug the security issues. So, and if they join with you, all the more better. So whether they're with you or against you on a local level, you can use it to your advantage.
That's right. And it's important for people to recognize that what we're trying, or what I'm proposing here, what I think needs to be done, is truly working within the system. The whole goal that I'm proposing is that people get back inside of their government and essentially take it over. Take responsibility within the established structure that the Constitution gives us, because self-government requires yourself doing the governing. You can't do that just every 2 years or every 4 years or every 6 years by going and voting for a few candidates and then turning around and letting them do whatever they think is right, just, fair, or otherwise in office and waiting for the next election. The beauty of the militia concept, to me at least, was its constant participation by people at the local and state level in the running of their own society.
Yeah. Well, what's really good about this is a plan and a pattern for doing this nonviolently, because we know, and this is one of the concerns with the Ed Brown standoff, is that if a lot of people were to start to react violently, with all the new laws that have been passed, Military Commissions Act and this new thing that just happened back in May with the president, that declare martial law, and then you really would have the reaction. And the speculation then is that then they'd call in foreign troops to suppress the insurrection because all of our troops are over in another country, and you would have the dismantling of the American Republic.
That's right. I think the last thing, certainly that I propose, and I always look askance at anyone who suggests this, is some kind of violent remonstrances against government officials. You know, I'm a firearms instructor, NRA certified firearms instructor, and whenever I and my cohorts teach our personal protection course, we make something very clear. The use of a firearm is the last resort. It's only after you've tried everything else that you turn to that, right?
And we certainly haven't tried this yet.
That's right. We haven't tried to take back effective control of our own country by the mechanism that the Constitution gives us. So until we've done that, until we've followed the book of instructions, we shouldn't be thinking about going outside of that structure to use some other violent or extreme means. I think
now, Ed, what do you say to people who say you're just trying to create a kind of a guardian angel vigilante type of group?
Well, it's certainly two things. First, it's certainly not a guardian angel or vigilante group because it will have all these militias will have legal authority. They will be state governmental structures. They will be.
But before that gets passed into state law, we're talking about the local groups that
These are study and advocacy groups, as the book points out. You could have one of these groups formed entirely of Quakers or Mennonites, people who were pacifists.
So you're not advocating that these groups arm themselves
and patrol
the streets?
No. There's absolutely nothing wrong with people learning about that, with people going and joining gun clubs, and if they own firearms or obtaining firearms. But the purpose of these organizations is not to create armed entities, private militia. I mean, I can imagine, and the book suggests, you can have these Citizens Homeland Security Associations in which no one even owned a gun.
Yeah, because we don't do policing. We don't shoot people off corners or do local policing. It's a stepping stone. The Citizens Homeland Security is a stepping stone to the militia, which will be there to execute the laws of the Union. Put down insurrections and repel invasions.
Well, and deal with natural catastrophes, natural disasters. You can think of all sorts of non-military, if you will, activities that militia organizations would deal with in their local and state communities. So anyone who comes to me and says, well, what you're really proposing here is that people form, you know, armed groups. No. I'm proposing that people sit down, study these problems, work out some solutions, prepare a statute or statutes, have the legislature enact that. Then I would hope that the people who had done all this work would also be the people who would say, yes, I will now volunteer to become part of the militia structure that the state government has set up through the legislature.
You know, I can just hear some people now saying, oh, man, another group to join, another meeting to go to. You know, it's hard for me to get in all my television watching with all these groups wanting me to do things.
Well, as Rick suggested before, I really think this is the last group you'll have to join, one way or the other. If you don't,
you're not going to have a country.
If you don't, you're not going to have a country. If you do, you may have a chance to keep it a constitutional republic.
I've lived for years,
and I've come to that conclusion finally. That's why I started on this project. To a great extent, it's like swimming up Niagara Falls in a barrel. It really is very difficult because of the exact reactions that you've just been quoting to me.
Right, and at the beginning of your book, you have a wonderful quote by Niccolo Machiavelli, and people, you need to read the Prince, you need to read Machiavelli's discourses on the first 10 books of Titus Livius. You need to understand these principles because they're being applied against you whether you know it or not. This is what he says. He says, to usurp supreme and absolute authority in a free state and subject it to tyranny, the people must have already become corrupt by gradual steps from generation to generation, and all states necessarily come to this unless they are frequently reinvigorated by good examples and brought back by good laws to their first principles.
Right, and that's exactly my point. We are in that situation. Notice how he even used the term free state. It's interesting. I mean, he was thinking along the same lines. We see that degeneration in our country. I've certainly seen it since the 1950s. It's now accelerating. And what I am proposing in Constitutional Homeland Security is that we bring this country back to its great legal foundation, as the Constitution points out, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. If you want a free state, if you want to live in that kind of a political and economic environment, the Founding Fathers have told us what is necessary. And that's a principle of constitutional law. This is not some hortatory pronouncement, take it or leave it. It's a principle of constitutional law in this country. You cannot have a free state as the Constitution envisions it without having a well-regulated militia. And you cannot have a well-regulated militia unless you and I and millions of other people directly participate in it.
Wow, that's great. That's great. We need to do that. We're coming up to a break, everybody. When we come back, we'll be finishing up, and what we'll want to do is find out how you can get Edwin Vieira's book, Constitutional Homeland Security. Stick with us. This is Republic Broadcasting Network.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Well, welcome back, America. This is Tim Wingate on the Republic Broadcasting Network on the American Awakening, sitting in for the traveling Michael Herzog. With me are my guests, Rick Waz and Edwin Vieira Jr., talking about constitutional homeland security. Rick, is there a question? We've got about 5 minutes or a little bit less than that left. Something else you would like to bring up?
No, first thing is let them get the address and the information out at least once now right away on how.
There we go. Edwin, how do people get this book?
All right, you have two choices. Number one, you can go to the ubiquitous Amazon.com. Look up Constitutional Homeland Security or look up Edwin Vieira, and that will come up. Don't be worried. It seems to say that there's only one copy available, which is really wrong.
Okay.
I've been trying to get them to fix it, but who knows? Some kind of technical glitch there. We have plenty of copies. You can, if you don't want to deal with a credit card company, if you don't want to pay the shipping and handling, you can get the book directly from me at 13877 Napa, N-A-P-A Drive, Manassas, M-A-N-A-S-S-A-S, Virginia, 20112. Check or money order made out to Edwin Vieira, 1995. And don't worry, I don't hold the checks and, you know, until they clear. I send the book out same day I get it, same business day.
Let's get that address again, Edwin.
13877 Napa Drive, Manassas, Virginia, 20112. And you know what's interesting, Tim? In all the years I've been selling books, I must have a terrific clientele. I've had only one person that turned out to be a deadbeat who's checked
out. Well, you know, quite honestly, since I've been doing things online as well, I've only had one or two
that's right.
people whose checks I accepted, and it
that's right.
Didn't work out.
In this particular group with which we're talking on the radio, there are a heck of a lot of honest people.
That's true. Rick, did you have a question for Edwin?
No, I was just going to say that even simpler than the check or the money order like I did is just take a $20 Federal Reserve note, put it in an envelope, and send it to him. Edwin sends it out so fast to make your head spin. I got about four books from him that way, and he actually signed one of mine, which I'm thrilled to death, although it's all marked up with highlighter now. So I don't know if it'll be a collector's item. But I like the quote from the latest article, Zero, where Edwin quotes, or he says, Samuel Johnson once quipped that nothing focuses a man's mind as much as the imminence of his own hanging. And that's where we're at in this country. We're getting very close to the end. And I think this book is the solution. And I think these Homeland Security organizations are the great stepping stone of what we need to do.
It certainly would be the way to take back America without violence, and to step up and be adults and take responsibility
and it's
for our society.
And, Tim, it is something that we can do without asking permission from our representatives.
Exactly.
We don't have to wait for them to take action. We take the action and then present it to them and say, here it is, enact this. We're ready to go, enact this. And if you don't, at the next election, there may be some changes.
That's great. Edwin, thank you so much for being with us. My friend Rick, thank you so much for being with us today. Folks, this is Tim Wingate, the Republic Broadcasting Network, sitting in for Michael Herzog on The American Awakening. Please make sure you stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. We'll be back tomorrow with Alan Watt. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great summer solstice day.
And I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is.
A message for